And we're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Jared Glassford. Come right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break. Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. Truly appreciate everyone out there checking all of our shows. And please give us that five-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, also as well, Joe Soros here. Go ahead and check him out today as Ox1947 at LakersBall.com. Of course, he owns a company as well that you got to go ahead and support if you can, and you're in Southern California area. It's so funny, Joe and I, we're getting from Sports Baby, where his neck of the woods is in Australia, his version of Simblades, Simblades with a Y.com, a pretty good looking synthetic turf there, Sports Baby, so keep that up. Also as well, go ahead and check out everything that's going on with our good friends, John Costas, Lakers Corner, Clutch Talk. Not sure if he's going to do a show tomorrow. He's not contacted me, but if not, we will go ahead and provide some relief as well for tomorrow. Plus also as well, the Lakerholics crew of Laker Tom and Jamie Sweet. Of course, also as well, our good friends, Empire Jeff TV, Lakers in 5, the John McCallion channel, and Daniel Berry Sports Highlights. Yo, there he is right there, fresh off of his time at the Crypt with the Atlanta Hawks and the Los Angeles Lakers as the LA Lakers cruise to an easy victory on Monday. Go ahead and support all those great sites. And speaking of sporting great sites, we're almost to 1,500 subscribers, and you can make that happen by subscribing today on YouTube, or we're almost at 1,000 subscribers on Facebook. So please go ahead and follow us there to go ahead and get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Daniel Berry, ever the optimist, says, yes, we're going undefeated in the playoffs. I like that optimism. Absolutely. That's Laker Tom multiplied by 10 right there for you. Absolutely. But it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Gerald Glassford along with Joe Soro. And the topic for today's discussion, with the Lakers still in ninth place in Western Conference. And, you know, you heard our conversations last night about the Lakers nightcap and also the Lakers post game. Myself, John, and Joe, in regards to our not-so-lack of optimism, or actually our not-so-much optimism on the Lakers' future in regards to where they're going this season. We do not think that the Lakers will be going far in the playoffs. We are hoping we are wrong, and we're hoping Daniel Berry is right and that the Lakers will go undefeated on their way to an 18th world championship. But what if that isn't the case? What if that doesn't happen? What if they don't go anywhere near a world title run this time around? Is it time to seriously take a hard look at the combination that starts it all with LeBron and AD? Is LeBron and AD still in 2024 a championship combination? And here today to discuss those options and variables is a good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out as Ox1947 at LakersBall.com. And of course, Simblades, Simblades with a Y.com. And the man behind Lakers Nightcap with Joe Soro. It is Joe Soro. Cool, bro. It's a good show, classic show. Great that you got a chance to check it out. But Joe, if the Lakers don't get far in the playoffs or even play in this year, I think that the team needs to do a lot of soul searching, and with some very expensive options that could be picked up or most likely picked up from the way we see how Jeannie and LeBron and Linda Rambis get along. It's just very concerning to me if you people really think, or at least the organization thinks, that LeBron and AD are still a championship combination.
Soul searching?
Well, it's a, you never mind. You're going to argue with me on that as well. So Sports Baby, thank you again for the picture. Got appreciate it. I'm sure Joe checked it out as well, as far as your turf and your lawn there. $3,500. Wow.
There isn't a soul searching here. This is pointing to an extension.
Oh, I know it is. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But so then the fans like us need to make a decision on whether you're going to support this product if that happens.
Is it, in your mind, at this point, at this stage of their careers, still a championship combination?
No.
Okay. And could you clarify why?
LeBron doesn't play defense. at all. Gets worse and worse, and he doesn't have anybody to cover him a little bit. AD, if AD doesn't get a center, he's going to struggle against the centers that are dominating him lately. And it's not lately, actually, now. It's been a while now. He's only beaten Embiid once in seven tries. He's never beaten Sabonis. And Jokic has owned him for seven straight games. Lakers need a full makeover. They need a team-oriented setup. And there is no other way to look at it. AD could be a championship one if there are three very good and young players on his team that complement his game. But I don't, with the way the structures are in the NBA now and the way they've made the setup in terms of the trades and acquisitions, I don't know how possible that is. And if Genie is going to be conscious of the salary cap and not going over an apron or two, then it's going to be hard. Plus, they don't really know what they're doing. The only reason why LeBron and AD are in LA is because LeBron chose to be in LA and AD chose to go to LA and demand to go to LA because of LeBron. AD doesn't go to LA unless LeBron was there. And then you factor in, let's say, KCP, Kuzma draft, picking up Caruso. Sure, we can give them credit for those acquisitions. The problem is they're no longer Lakers. They not only made good decisions there, they squandered it, which is what the issue with this team is, and the management and the executives and the decision makers, is you do a good thing, but then you equally do the bad thing. And we're always going to be able to look at 2020 as the evening out, but it's really not. You actually ruined a chance at getting multiple championships because you kept making bad decisions. The AD LeBron era, I know this isn't a good comparison, but it's kind of like the Dodgers Dave Roberts era, in that they won a championship, but it was muddled a little bit because it was on the backdrop of so many bad decisions. And it was never fixed. It's never been fixed. It's just a constant, well, let's see if the results will be different now. And unfortunately, the longer you wait, especially with someone who's 39 years old, someone like AD, who's obviously struggling playing the five against true fives, this is the result.
So I ask you, my friend, it's so funny because you go just type in the words LeBron and AD. First thing that pops up is a report about 4 hours ago from Fox Sports that LeBron is reportedly frustrated with Anthony Davis amid a power struggle with Lakers GM Rob Pelinka. So I guess it's Rick Bucher, a name that you haven't heard from a while, that's fronting the story. So how much validity do you take in the fact that there might be a power struggle at the very top between LeBron and Rob, and how he might be frustrated with AD at this point in time, Joe?
Who's frustrated with AD?
LeBron reportedly is frustrated, according to a Fox Sports article.
Not aware of frustration. Is this just something that they're pulling out their butthole?
Pretty much at this point.
I'm not going to comment on it because it's asinine. When things get boring with the Lakers, people start making stuff up.
Yeah, I get you on that. But again, they're trying to reach for stories. They're trying to reach for things because LeBron and AD are still names. They're still names that move.
It doesn't matter if they're names.
Still names that they're,
it doesn't
they're,
matter if they're names.
They still get attention.
Okay, so if you want to have names, then go do a podcast. If you want to go off your name. We're talking about basketball now. Every time one of these chump especially the ex-players. Every time one of these chumps would be asked a question about Russell Westbrook a couple years back, they kept yapping about his resume. Mother, you know what? It's not about your goddamn resume. It's about what's going on right now. Okay, we're not talking about Russell Westbrook in 17. We're talking about Russell Westbrook in 2022. We're talking about LeBron James in 2024. We're talking about Anthony Davis playing the five in an era right now where the center is starting to come back and they're whooping his ass. Stop telling me about what happened last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, or what this guy's resume is. I don't give a shit about their resume. They can't do it now because that's what's going on. And if you're going to have these guys be a part of a championship team, you're going to need talent to help them, like a bench, like a coherent defensive scheme, something like that. Maybe a coach that knows how to coach. You do that, then you can talk about LeBron and AD and a championship topic. Other than that, all we're hearing right now is numbers. Oh my God, LeBron is the only 40-11-10 guy. I don't care about stats. And most people don't. It's about championships. If you're not going to win a championship, then you're useless. This is a useless adventure. I would even say if they were at least competing, I'd say, okay, well, they went to the finals and they lost. They were close. We're not even getting that. We don't even know if they're going to get to the playoffs. And that's what you need to start focusing on in terms of knowing what this the end result of this is going to be.
So if the end result is not a good one for this season, Joe, and it seems more and more like the writing is on the wall that LeBron will either at the very minimum pick up that $51 million extension, or B, the Lakers will offer him in a three-year deal reportedly worth up to $160, $162 million. If that's the case, I can say equivocally that this is a combination with whatever's left over that you cannot build a championship team with, if that's the case.
No, you can't. No, you're not going to be able to build a championship team when $100 million is going to two players who, at least one of them, can't play one side of the ball. As a matter of fact, he's really bad at it. And you can't have that guy play that bad and then have two guys in front of him that are not good at it either. And also, you don't have any depth. They're going to have to figure out how to maneuver this next run. And I don't know if they want to do that. I think it's too complicated for them. And people are too enamored with the names. People get fixated on the names. If LeBron James isn't winning championships in LA, he's useless. Or at least competing. I would, again, buy into getting to the finals and losing even. Hey, you know what? Something happened. They hit a wall. Whatever. But if he's not, if this team is not competing for a championship, it is a useless venture. Then you need to go another route.
So Robert Wheeler is asking, Joe, do you think right now it is more likely the Lakers make or miss the playoffs?
Yes, it's very likely they miss. They're going to go on a 6-game road trip here in a few days. That's going to be the telltale sign of what this team's going to end up at here. 6-game road trip, and there's two back-to-backs in the same road trip. There's going to be 3 days off total for a weak-minded, pansy-ass, horribly coached team, and that's the reality of that, and they've been terrible on the road. So for me to expect them to sack up and play like they're supposed to play, I don't know if that's very realistic.
Sports baby, a lot of the East Coast, the Eastern Conference teams that we're playing, no, they don't have a sparkling resume. Most of them have losing records that we will be playing, or at least some of them will. But it's back-to-back, sports baby. And we've seen how tired this team gets or how lack of energy they get, and especially if you're only getting 3 days off the entire trip, they're getting their 3 days off now, so they better get their rest now because they're certainly not going to get it on the road trip. And sports baby, again, even if it's like for instance, Joe, the back-to-back with Toronto and Washington, normally those teams, both under 500 teams, that shouldn't scare you. For a winning team, that should be two wins. You focus, you pay attention to what you're doing, and you get the two wins. With the Lakers, I don't share that same optimism and confidence, Joe.
About the Philly and Indiana?
No, about the back-to-back with Toronto and Washington.
Well, back-to-back Toronto, the issue with those games is it's they're going to be in Toronto, and then they have to fly to Washington and play a couple day games. It's just factoring in the after four tough games, you got to play those two on a back-to-back. It's just a matter of end of the season mentality, end of the season wear and tear, how they're going to react to that. And they haven't really reacted very well usually in those moments. They've done it a few times, but not on the road. That's the problem here. But that road trip is going to tell everyone whether they're a 9 or a 10, really. If they're a 10, I don't see them getting out of San Francisco with a win. If they're a 9, I could see them beating Golden State. But that means you still got to beat Dallas, Phoenix, or Sacramento, depending on how that plays out.
Now, they're only three games ahead of Houston, who's been on an extreme tear in the Western Conference. Do you see them at all bearing any risk with this road trip coming up of them falling out and falling into 11th place in the Western Conference?
It depends on if Houston keeps playing the way they're playing.
Okay.
And the Lakers hit a skid.
Because the Lakers are by far.
Right now they're three games behind in the loss column.
Yeah.
And Houston's won six in a row. So if the Lakers lose one of the next two games and then go 2-4 on that road trip, and Houston wins two and loses one and wins two and loses one, now you're going to start worrying about that. Yeah, there could be a possibility, but I don't know if it's likely, though. It's going to be very hard to make up three games.
And I think with Dallas's win over the Spurs, 14 games left, the Lakers, I don't think they have a chance of passing them in the Western Conference standings. I think that tonight's victory pretty much solidified that. Again, with the Lakers, though, it comes down to, like you say, the road. And the Lakers, if you look in the Western Conference standings, not counting Houston, Joe, the Lakers are by far and away the worst team on the road in the Western Conference. I mean, we talk about some pretty painful records. You look at that comparative to the other teams, including Golden State in the Western Conference. All those other teams are above 500 in the Western Conference. The Lakers aren't even close.
I just wanted to fast forward. That's really kind of where I'm at right now on this. I really don't want to think about the Rockets and all this BS. Just get this thing going. Let's finish it and see where they're at. And then once they get into the play-in, see what they can muster up.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com. And you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
My last movie that I saw in the theaters was The Last Skywalker. I know, condolences to me.
Wow, man.
Nice. I just had talked about that, and I completely forgot that I saw that movie.
Yes.
It doesn't speak great things about it, I suppose.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much for watching this. We truly appreciate it. So, Joe, if you do want to fast forward everything, you want to get this season pretty much behind you, how frustrated will you be if the Lakers go ahead and either pick up the $50 million contract or even the very well, expected 3-year extension or 3-year contract to LeBron, as far as tying LeBron into the Lakers system for an extended amount of time at that high of a salary. Like you said, it gets into the situation now then that you're going to have to go into another apron and another apron, and the Lakers will be, the job will be even harder for the Lakers to go ahead and put a good team around those two.
If he signs an extension, the Lakers have to use D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, and Rui as their springboard to bring in talent. And I don't know if they're going to keep their pick. I have to see how that plays out.
Yeah.
If they don't get out of the play-in, that means they have a lottery pick, which I believe New Orleans is going to switch. And then the Lakers will finally get a draft pick next year.
In a good draft year, that may not be so bad. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but this year won't help. The more years we go, the harder it is for LeBron to continue to do what he's doing.
Yeah, because you haven't supplemented that with enough younger talent to go ahead and make up for it.
They could have supplemented the team by just two pickups last year, one in the draft, the other as in the MLE, and unfortunately they came up horrible in both instances. That was your depth and money being able to be used for that depth. Money that you can use every year to add depth to the team. And one guy's a bust, probably one of the worst busts I've seen in a Laker uniform in a while, especially that high of a pick. And then the other is a player that's not played really. And that is debilitating to a team that has no depth, that could have used two players that could have made a world of difference this year.
And that's a shame, because the Lakers, again, you need every bit of help that you can get when you're trying to still figure out how to build a team around LeBron and AD. And I know that Jeeves says it, JHS sucks big time. I don't want to hear JHS has been playing well in the G League. That does nothing for me. It is when you do it on an NBA level and at an NBA level that really, really that you start to see things. But it's Joe. Again, when it comes right down to it, we're seeing rookies play an entire season and compile in one game better stats than both our first and second round picks combined all season.
I'd like to know officially whose pick that was. I think that's something that would be important to talk about, because then we would know what to look forward to during this next draft as well as the offseason.
Because those reports out there, like Laker Tom was putting out a report, he was aggregating a report saying that it was, you know, Rob Pelinka bypassing the Lakers scouts and making the choice on his own. I don't know if that's the case. Again, that's makes for good reading and clickbait reading.
I don't like when things like that are said when it's not true and you don't have any evidence, because I saw the war room when that pick was made, and it sounded like Rob Pelinka was handing off that choice to his scouts. Go ahead and watch it. It's on Backstage Lakers.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that
they were all in tune.
That's a stupid thing. That's how stupid shit gets out there, and it's not true. This is the stuff that pisses people off, especially me. Why are you saying that when you have evidence right in front of you, common sense evidence that gives off that impression that I think it was Johnny or one of the bus kids basically looked at him and said, "We're rolling with basically what you're saying." I didn't know, I'm paraphrasing here, but from my interpretation, it looked like he had
watched that Backstage Lakers. Everybody out there, watch that Backstage Lakers and then come back to us.
Now, where it could have been Rob's guy, but then again, that doesn't make any sense. Why would he say that in that way? Is that Rob has this affinity for Big Ten players.
Okay.
Makes sense. He went to Michigan. Yeah. What doesn't make any sense is what Big Ten players in the draft really made you pick the guy at 17. Like, I don't know what the hell that was about.
Especially with a marquee talent like Cam Whitmore.
Especially with a guy who was visibly slow for the NBA.
Yeah.
Who couldn't shoot from three. and doesn't really play defense very well. What the hell did you draft him for then? What was that for? Because of his mid-range game? That's what I heard. He can hit from the mid-range. And he can, I guess, be a point forward type? Anyone? Anyone?
Now, Jeeves, I'll put it to you like this. He is saying Christie was a good pick. Remember, the Lakers had to pay, what, $4 million, I think, in order to move up that year. They drafted Christie from in the second round. Or no, they bought into the second round to get Christie. They moved up. They paid money and moved up to get Lewis this year. So they paid $4 million, I believe, to buy into the second round to get Christie. And Christie has not found a consistent spot in the rotation, only shows you brief glimpses of what he can do, but he also pads the stats of other teams by allowing his shot to get blocked so many times. That's my perception as well. So, I mean,
second round picks don't hold as much water in a lot of ways. If they're hit, if they're a hit, cool. If they're not a hit, second round pick. I don't look at it as a bad or a good pick. It's just that, unfortunately, Max Christie's not an NBA player. It's just not going to happen, folks. He's not consistent enough from shooting. He's not necessarily a stalwart on the defensive end. He has his moments. Everything's a moment with Max Christie. This is his third year. Usually you can kind of see something develop, even if it's a second-round pick, if there's some kind of consistency there. He never became a rotational player on a team that has no rotational players, really. So if he can't do that here, what's he going to do on a title team or a team with depth? There isn't anything there that I've seen.
He is in his second year, not third. You mentioned third. He's second year.
Sorry, second year. Yeah, I just don't see it.
He only has a $2.3 million buy-in. He's a restricted free agent if that's the case. They do tender an offer of $2.3 million. They can go ahead and retain his rights and then go from there, whether or not to use him in trade or sign him outright. So you can always evaluate him, and it's still at a very low cost because he has not been able to prove himself to be a rotation. Now, I don't think as far as Joe, I think he may at some point become a rotation player in the league, probably like a 7, 8, 9 guy. But it may not be for the Lakers. It'll be, again, as we've seen with a lot of these Lakers, they find their niche somewhere else on someone else's rotation. So we'll go.
Okay, so Dante has confirmed that Trevor Lane heard that this was Rob's pick. I'm gonna go look back on that backstage Laker clip, and I will write down exactly verbatim what he said, and we'll see if we can decipher. Or maybe we'll find it on YouTube and see if we can play it on here so we can talk about it. I will do either one of those here on the next show.
Okay. But Maxwell Lewis hasn't been able to give you very much. I hear all this talk about the promise of Maxwell Lewis, second round draft pick. They could have Trace Jackson Davis. They could have GG Jackson. Both those players are making significant contributions for their team. And I understand the second round is more of a crapshoot, and obviously you get what you get. But again, some missed opportunities there as
Maxwell well. Looks terrible, almost worse than JHS.
Remember, 3 donuts in summer league for him. That's hard to do.
He's bad. There is no sugarcoating. He's not good.
Jeeves, the answer is if there is available, yes. But we would have to waive somebody, yes, on the team.
If we waive a player, you can get a center. Center from where?
What bodies are left out there? And you're saying Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard is...
Boogie Cousins?
Cooked. Cam Reddish is cooked. There is no center, folks. I think you all need to accept that Jackson Hayes is your best bet at center. He's actually played well. Roll with him the rest of the year. That's all you got.
We've done pretty good, Dante, in years as far as...
We've done good. But the problem is... We've let it go. It's not good. It's bad. It's worse. You have let go of
Alex Caruso to start.
Alex Caruso as a free agent. You have let go of Kuzma, late first round pick.
Josh Hart.
You let him go, second round pick.
But that was in the 80s.
These gems go. You've let them go. I'm not going to harp on Clarkson and Hart and all those guys. Hart had a you know.
He was in the AD trade. Yes.
Yeah, he was in the AD trade. So I'm not going to harp on that. Malik Monk letting him go. Well, you know, they didn't have the bird rights on him. I don't know how that could have worked out.
You couldn't have outbid.
Yeah. I'm talking about the legwork that they put in for certain players that they let go.
KCP.
KCP was traded for Westbrook. We can talk about that until the cows come home. That's. I'm not going to get into the Westbrook trade. We already know what happened there. They not only killed themselves getting him, they killed themselves twice by sending out the guys that they did send out.
And
because one won another championship, Kuzma ended up getting a max deal in Washington, and he could have been a huge help right now off the bench. Could have been like a sixth man on this team.
Plus two more first, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Well, what difference would it make? They would screwed up those picks anyways. It's not good, folks. It's not good. It's followed by good and then really bad. So you do something good. Let's talk about good versus bad. Let's say you're married and you're at home. You did the dishes today at home. Wife's happy. Thank you for doing the dishes. But you screwed up the garage and the car. And you didn't get them fixed. Now what? Now you can't get to work. Now the garage, how are you going to set stuff up in the garage? How are you going to park your car in the garage? That's the problem. It's not that they didn't do it right. It's that they did it right and then they effed themselves in the end. That's the heartbreaker. Magic Johnson traded Zubac for Mike Muscala. What the was he thinking? Like, who allowed that trade to go through? Where was Jeannie? Does she know anything about basketball? She's supposed to know what basketball is, right?
She's been around it all of her life.
So why the hell didn't she nix that?
The kid was really starting to play. The kid was really starting to make some ground, and you let that go for Mike Muscala. So let me ask you this, bringing back to what J.Y. Henn is saying, is Rob's job on the line or is everything Ham's fault?
This is an organizational issue. Who hired Darvin Ham? And why is Darvin Ham still the coach of the Lakers? And if he's not the coach of the Lakers, who are they going to get? The story gets worse and worse.
Chief says we're depressing him because we're telling too much of the hard facts and telling too much of the truth.
Yeah, it's an off day here, Jeeves, and hard facts are hard for the feelings. The Lakers are a fractured team. You've heard me say that before. And until they start gluing this thing back together, they're going to continue to break. It's Humpty Dumpty. They're trying to put back Humpty Dumpty. Very reminiscent of the post-CP3 veto. They're trying to put it together when it's already fractured. And what ended up happening there was Kobe ended up killing himself and then eventually fracturing completely.
It's a shame. It's a shame because, again, we've seen so many mistakes made at every level. But
I don't know if these messages are going to go where it needs to go, but it's not happening enough. I'm popping in Sportsnet. I'm looking at the only guy that's yapping is Stephen A. Smith, but no one pays attention to him when he yaps because he's just entertainment. He's not, there's no substance there. And no one really cares. They're just there to, there are two things to do with him. One, there's people that like him, the other that don't like him that still listen to him. All they hear is him ranting, right? And screaming. That's it. They don't take any substance. Why? Because he doesn't really know what's going on. He doesn't really analyze things the way, let's say, we would analyze because we're in it every day. He's not watching every Laker game. It's not in him to be like we are. We're watching every single game, every single Laker game. We're Laker analysts. He's a sports analyst. So he's got to deviate his time to other things. So it's impossible for him to really have any credibility completely when it comes to the Lakers. And even when he does, he flip-flops, which is really his problem, so much that that's where his credibility really dies with me. If he would stick to his guns, have a little bit more credibility there. But again, he makes his money being that guy. For us, this is watching four quarters every game. This is us watching for a very long time, every single game, every moment, every quarter, every minute. We've watched every minute together this year. We're talking about 69 games. We've only got 13 left. This is something that is important to explain. There needs to be pressure. If we're going to waste our time watching this product, the very least we can do as analysts, even though we're a small group, is maybe it resonates somewhere. Maybe some at some point something goes viral with a bunch of unknowns to where maybe it hits a nerve. And then all of a sudden you start getting more and more people, talking about it. There's not enough of that. And it's interesting because back in the day, I used to get frustrated with the Bill Plaschke's, the TJ Simers, the J.A. Adondes for being critical because I got defensive. I was an immature adult being I don't know about J.A. Adonde. He had a hate for Kobe that I didn't like. I still don't like him. But let's stick to the guys that were focused on basketball. When those guys criticized the Lakers for things, they got, from guys like me, they got a lot of kickback. Well, now that I'm mature, now that I know a little bit more how this works, it starts to make sense. When you're going to spend this kind of time and you're going to extend certain people and you're going to hire certain people to do a job and they don't do it, pressure needs to get put on them. Not enough gets put on them.
So with that set in mind, Frank noted that I guess LeBron was on the JJ podcast, the JJ Redick podcast that's out there. And he said something to the effect of, let me go ahead and paraphrase here. Funny enough, LeBron mentioned a little how teams draft more on potential rather than certain skills, unlike their understanding of the game. He said, basically teams skip on ready now players and gamble on potential, which again is true. We'll be seeing that come NFL draft time. I'm sure that that's going to be the case, but with LeBron, if it doesn't take too much common sense to realize, Joe, that you've got a aging superstar player with a finite time left, a finite window of time left. You've got AD who's been consistently injured and you don't know what you're going to get from him year in, year out. And yet you're still drafting on potential instead of guys that can help you win now. Again, that's just more likely to leave you burned. I mean, people come in here to Vegas where I'm at now and they bet on potentials. They bet on what they think could happen and often get burned. And it's just happening to the Lakers in this case.
Lakers have no room to look for potential at the 17th pick. This is the NBA. Top five picks are usually the ones that you're willing to wait for if you're going to pick a certain player. 17, you try to get best player available. You got to go best player available anyways. But especially at that number, this team needed a guy that could come in right away and play. What are you waiting for potential for? For what? Is Rob Pelinka in these gyms? Or is it just scouts?
Maybe just getting digital copies or tapes or whatever of footage.
What do the great GMs do when you consider them great?
Well, they actually go. They see in person, so they can get a better.
Jerry feel. West can go to high school gyms. Anyone can go, or anyone should go. The logo of the NBA Hall of Fame player was watching games in high school. If you're not doing that, then what's your worth? If you have scouts that are doing things in Europe, you can't make it. Yeah, I get that. But you still need to kind of be attentive to that. Is that something that's realistic? Is there a player personnel position versus a general manager? What does a general manager do on a team? What does a general manager do in general? Doesn't he make sure the bills are paid, make sure the secretaries are happy? Isn't that part of the job, right? All that stuff. Okay. So for me, if I'm running an organization that's sports like the Lakers, I want a player personnel guy and a GM. Let Rob go make sure the W-2s are being sent out. I don't – that they need someone that can scout with the scouts. Maybe.
Someone that has a better acumen for player personnel.
And also, can we get an idea – if you're going to make the right calls, which they have in certain free agents like Austin Reeves, Caruso, Zubac, Clarkson, Nance. You know, there's been a lot of positive draft picks late in the first, second, free agents. But how many of them are still here? One. And that's Reeves. That's it. Why aren't some of those guys here? I understand some had to be traded for better talent. Fine. But what about the ones that you didn't do that for? That stuff catches up to you after a while, getting rid of young talent. Not everybody's going to be a star. Not everybody's going to be a starter. But man, that 6, 7, and 8 position on a team like this would have really, really helped. Imagine if the Lakers had 3 solid bench guys. I guarantee you they'd be 7, 8 games above what they are right now. And that would make a huge difference. Let's say if they won 7 more games, okay? 7 more games puts them at 4. That's the difference. 9-4.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro along with me, Joe Glassford. Thanks so much for watching this thing. Truly appreciate it. No game until Friday, but there's still so much to talk about this week on the Lakers Fast Break. Joe, it seems like, again, Kurt, DeFair, and others are still insisting that, you know, the scouts were overruled, that they're like, they're getting no blame at all, and Pelinka liked JHS because of the Big Ten issue. You're saying because of that, what you saw and your perceptions of the backstage Lakers footage, that may not be entirely the case. I think it's just, could the truth be somewhere in the middle? Could the truth be somewhere where, you know what, he did lean because of his Big Ten familiarity, but again, we shouldn't take all the blame off the scouts because the scouts are there. You pay them a lot of money. The buses, they don't work for free. They are there to go ahead and provide you with input and value into it. And if you're, you know, any GM on the team, as far as for any of these NBA teams, it's not going to make a decision just out of thin air just because it's the Big Ten. Now, he may have a more familiarity with it, but obviously somewhere, sometime down the line, he got a fascination with JHS. And I just refuse to believe that it was entirely on his own because of his Big Ten affiliation. Somebody else in the organization had to have brought him in on JHS.
We're going to have to find that out. I'm going to do some research after we get off the show, and maybe we'll have something by tomorrow. I can't make an educated assessment right now. And I don't want to come off as, you know, hindsight's 20/20, right? I get that. But at the same time, we can't, this was the highest pick we had since Lonzo Ball.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. So it was the highest pick, and
because Randall came before that, correct?
So 2018, I believe, Lonzo Ball was drafted. Am I right? Okay. Yeah. And that was a bad pickup. That was a bad draft. They should have got Tatum. But we were so enamored with his ballness, his dad and his bullshit and all that garbage. You know, we're not here to be those guys. That's supposed to be your job as Magic Johnson, the player personnel and GMs, to be able to scout that, which is funny too, considering when you look back at the 2015 draft, Okafor was supposed to be the second pick after Karl Anthony Towns, and Mitch Kupchak, who gets a lot of garbage thrown his way because of Luol Deng and Mozgov, he's the one that decided, you know what, I need to pick D'Angelo Russell, and that was the right pick. that was the right pick. But he's known for one bad decision, or I should say two
was
bad
decisions. Was that the Porzingis draft, though?
Yes.
Kind of wanted Porzingis.
Porzingis, the issue with Porzingis was his injury problem.
He was working out here in Vegas, so I got a chance to look. I just saw somebody that could.
I don't fault them for not drafting him.
He was a risk. I get it.
He was a risk, and he ran like a deer with a limp. And a lot of times, from what I've seen from basketball players, when you saw that, that usually didn't mean good things. You could tell when a big guy is too big and can't really control his center of gravity. Now, here's the difference between Porzingis and Wembanyama. Wembanyama is a yoga guy. And for those of you who've paid attention to the Lakers' history of lanky, tall basketball players who are into yoga, it's usually a good result, i.e. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a yoga guy when yoga wasn't even known what it was, really, at least in the Western world. And that's what gave him a 20-year career. Stretching, elongating, making sure the body was constantly in that mode. Stretching is probably one of the most underrated things you can do on a daily basis. Not a lot of people do it, unfortunately, but they should. And Wembanyama is one of those guys. When I saw some clips before he started the NBA season this year, I said, okay, that's a good sign right there. If he goes through this first year with no injuries, I said, he is going to be an all-time great. And he's going to be a scary player when he gets going. And he's already a scary player. He should get the Defensive Player of the Year this year, in my opinion.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com.
So I want to ask you this, though. Okay, while it's not definitive to clear, in my opinion, I'm sorry, all apologies to Trevor Lane and, you know, everybody else who thinks they all know the answers in regards to this, as far as JHS and Maxwell Lewis and all that, as far as the draft. The thing I want to ask you, though, is what I can squarely blame on Rob is the signing of Gabe Vincent and the extension for Jared Vanderbilt. You know, not doing more proper checks on their health because both got injured quickly. In fact, you know, we already knew and were already aware that Gabe Vincent had knee issues already back when he was with Miami. Then you see what happens. Obviously, he hasn't even played 10 games with the Lakers. You know, well, hopefully he'll come back soon. Jared Vanderbilt had the foot issues. And obviously that's gone south from there as well. I don't think there was absolutely a need to sign Jared Vanderbilt so quickly. But again, hopefully that will pay off down the line with better play in future seasons. Gabe Vincent, you're already having knee troubles 6 games into your Lakers career in a 3-year deal. That's going to be hard to move come this offseason.
Vanderbilt's contract is extremely tradable.
They're both around $11 million.
And the Lakers, should they extend LeBron James, are likely going to use every contract in their arsenal to make sure that's available. So, and looking at, I'm going to be curious to see how they handle the D'Angelo Russell situation. Does D'Angelo Russell opt out? Does D'Angelo Russell think he can get $20 million, $25 million a year? We tend to overvalue the Laker players. Does the league think that D'Angelo Russell is a 4-month star when it's all said and done. He started really playing well in January. Will they look at it as well? I think D'Angelo really started focusing on playing this last 4 months so that he can up his numbers, right? So that he can get this next big contract. If he feels comfortable that he's got a deal that could take him to 20, 25 mil, he's going to opt out. Question is, will he get it? Question is, will there be a sign and trade situation? Will D'Angelo play ball that way and whomever team they deal with? Because right now, looking at the contracts that are going to be of use for enhancing this team, should LeBron extend, because there's no way he's extending unless they're competing next year, right? So if you add all the numbers for the, let's say, six players that are going to be tradable this summer, because Vanderbilt couldn't get traded after his extension at the beginning of the year due to the league rules, they have $70 million between Russell, Rui, Austin, Gabe, and Jared Vanderbilt. They have $70 million right there. So let's say D'Angelo is a player that they want to keep. Let's say they go, okay, D, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you $25 million for 2 years. And he takes it. Now you have $50 million to play with to see if you can go get a couple players that could put this team in championship contention. Can you find two players out there? Two players making 25 mil per? That would be instant game changers. How else can you look at it? You're still going to have depth issues because you have to allocate all that money to even less talent, even less in terms of person's talent. But can those two players make that much of a difference? Can they be like the Celtics? Celtics don't have any depth either. Their starters are just that good. So
Sam Hauser's been somebody that they brought up that has played well for them coming off the bench. But still, you're right. After player number seven, it gets kind of rough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, D'Lo in San Antonio would work. That would work. But I don't think San Antonio looks at... I don't think any team looks at D'Angelo Russell the way we might look at him.
They didn't go all the way in on Austin Reaves.
No, that was a huge media and Laker delusional situation. Oh, we're sitting here. Oh, you better pay him $25 million a year. Why? Why would you pay him $25 million a year? For what? And then he found out that summer. You think these guys don't know? They know. I wouldn't say he's boring, Xbox. I actually like the way his game is. I like the quick release. I'm a very big fan of quick releases. I grew up watching Dan Marino throw a football. It's hard to watch anybody. And, of course, Patrick Mahomes has a huge, very quick release as well.
Bagging and Dragon on Twitch, I would say he is better than any point guard option in San Antonio right now.
Continuity is also going to be an issue here, too. If you flip this, I'd like to keep as much continuity as possible, too. Continuity to me would be D'Angelo Russell. If you're going to keep somebody, keep him. Because he does have a talent that is very rare.
But you're going to have to get better defense.
You're going to have to use Rui, Austin, Vanderbilt, and Gabe Vincent's contracts. That's about $50 million to go get two players that can ball. I mean, really ball. I don't know who, though. That's something we're going to have to sit and analyze during the offseason.
It is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Sorrell and me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for listening. Truly appreciate it, and watching as well. Please like and subscribe to get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break. I've not heard yet from John Costa. Said he wanted to do a show on Wednesday, and if not, we'll do a show in his stead. I truly appreciate any time he does get the chance to stop on by and do it. But if he can't, if his schedule does not allow for it, I will go ahead and make sure that we provide one as well. But again, I'll bring it back to the question of the day as far as the title of this description for this podcast, this episode today, as we get closer to 1,000 audio episodes. I want to ask you this, Joe. Is LeBron an AD? You talk about all the maneuvers that you just talked about. You talked about combining all those salaries and getting some better pieces as far as the concern, but still leaving short as far as depth is concerned. So let's say you do sign LeBron. You do have AD there. Do you still think it's a, do you still think it's not a championship?
No.
Combination.
Not unless you get major help. And LeBron plays 29 minutes a game. LeBron has to go into Tim Duncan mode in 2014.
Okay.
That's the only way he's going to win championships the rest of the way. Now, he can be an integral part. He could still win finals MVP, but he's got to be rested up during the regular season. And he has not gotten any rest this year at all. I think he's averaging 36 minutes a game.
Yep.
That's three quarters a game. That's too much. He needed to be in the 29-30 mark for him to not get burnt out.
I do want to thank Bag and Dragon for following us now on Twitch. Truly appreciate you joining us there.
Good name.
Absolutely. But my friend, it's been a great conversation for tonight. Bag and Dragon says AD does not have the passion to push through big games. I can argue with you on that, because when it comes up to it, yeah, he has come up short against some of the elite center talent in this league, Joe. And that seems to still be a problem that's following him around.
What was that?
That he still comes up short against some of the elite center talent in this
league. He's not a center. He's a forward. He's a power forward. It'd be like Karl Malone trying to guard David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon, Patrick Ewing back in the 90s. I mean, Carl, center of gravity, is amazing, smart player and all that, but you think Karl Malone could guard the Dream Shake?
He's 6'11", 270, 280. His body is not what it once was. He has gotten stronger with age. I don't think he's Nurkic. You're right, and I don't think
the constant conversation of we need this guy to do this needs to stop. At what point are you going to realize, after 24 games, that this man cannot play against centers? He's won one game against Jokic, Embiid, and Sabonis in the last 24 games against them. 24 games, not four, not eight, 24. That's a quarter of a season. Imagine if we had a season where 24 games you're playing Sacramento, Philadelphia, and Denver. And you start 21-24 in those first 24 games. It's not going to work, folks. I used that round peg, square hole thing before, like a jackass played out analogy.
So you still say he's more of a forward?
He's a power forward. He's always been a power forward. That's what he does. He's a finesse player. He's not a power player.
Alan says he can't shoot.
AD can't shoot. But he does do some other things that, if you had a coherent offense, that could be of value. The thing is with shooting is it's a rhythm thing, right? AD is asked to do different things game in and game out. Things that he's not good at. Therefore, that throws your rhythm off. There's no consistency in any kind of offensive philosophy. There's no consistency in where he gets the ball. Do you remember when Shaq would get the ball? Do you remember where Kobe's favorite spots were? Do you remember where Fish would hit his threes at a high clip? Do you remember Robert Horry explaining the kickstand? When I get that kickstand going, it's very likely going to go in. Well, when you're a coach and you know that these guys have a certain thing that they are positive with, don't you think you can devise something to enhance that? Make sure you keep putting that in there. And if, let's say, Darvin Ham is not equipped with the right tools, there's a way to say that. Instead, he makes excuses.
Now, JSJ says he needs a Bobby Portis type against him. I was saying he needs more of a Jonas Valanciunas type against him. Big body, can play, at least provide some resistance against the bigger centers, yet still stretch it out to three.
Oh, we can pick the best centers here that would work. Problem is, folks, is guys like Bobby Portis and Valanciunas are making a lot of money. Can't pay everybody.
It's a free agent.
Yeah, and he's going to want 30 mil per, and somebody's going to give him that.
Okay.
So I don't think the Lakers are going to have the money anyways. It's very difficult. The Lakers are not only playing against bad management and bad coaching, but they're also playing a system that has been rigged to defy their prowess. Every rule the CBA has made in the last 25 years has been done 90% of the time to combat the Laker run. The worst one, in my book, the worst one, was the implement of the zone after the 2002 season, after the Lakers street-beated.
Allen says the issue is LeBron. LeBron can't be a three.
LeBron can't guard at the three. That's the big problem. He can play the three. He can get to the basket still. He can still control the ball as a point forward. He can shoot. He's shooting better this year than he did last year. Problem is, his focus on defense is abysmal. Worst, he is starting to get to the point where he's almost worse at defense than even Austin and D'Angelo. Because I've seen D'Angelo improve the last few months. He's getting into passing lanes. He's knocking the ball. He's doing something. Austin, on the other hand, he physically can't. And that's not fair. That's not fair to ask Austin Reeves to play the two against freak athletes at that position. The freakiest athletes sit at the shooting position at the two. That's delusional if you think that someone who wasn't even drafted is supposed to all of a sudden guard the elite athletes in this league.
That's why he wasn't drafted.
Right. And he's starting on a team, deservingly so. He could be a starter. He could, on a championship starting team. Problem is, he has to be the worst defensive player on that team, because what he ends up doing is I would shift him to the three and let him be a wide open 3-point shooter who happens to be able to control the ball sometimes. But his defense needs to be the worst on that starting lineup. Unfortunately, he's one of three guys that are terrible on defense.
With LeBron, it's just a matter of, again, maybe it's age, focus, attention span. I mean, LeBron.
I understand that he has to hold back on defense without so he doesn't break. But we've discussed this before. It's not about the actual defending part. It's his antics that put his team in a position of a disadvantage. Complaining to the refs and leaving 4-on-5 breaks. His ability not to shade his player, at least. Just completely just dying on a vine, letting them have wide open shots. I'm not expecting LeBron to be up in everyone's grill. No, but can you at least, you're 6'8", can you at least be in front of the guy? He's very, very lazy. And he is, and I can prove it because you've seen his entry passes. You've seen certain bounce passes that he makes that are just stupid. Someone of his stature and his genius, got the bunny ears out for the audio people. If you're so smart, smart doesn't go away at 39, folks. It's your motor skills. It's your ability for your instincts. My dad used to say, God rest his soul. My dad said when he was coming to the tail end of his soccer career. He said, I had a breakaway, God knows how many times towards the end, and I'd trip over my foot. He's like, what the? Did somebody come trip me up? I get the physical part, but LeBron makes a lot of mental mistakes. Laziness is a decision, a lazy decision. It's not a, oh, I'm tired decision. If you're too tired to play, then you should be even more focused on making that bad play. So now, why is this discussion happening? Well, we're talking about a possible extension to pay this guy $50, $60 million.
So now you're committing what? Close to 100.
You're gonna pay 50 to 60. Yeah, you're gonna pay $50 to $60 million for a guy who only plays one side of the court and has an issue on decision making with the ball. But he's LeBron James. He's gonna go to the Hall of Fame. He's this, he's that. I don't give a shit what he was 5 years ago. I'm talking about today. I'm talking about today. I don't fall in love with players. I love Kobe, sure. Pau Gasol, sure. Magic, first love in terms of basketball, sure. I love them, but I'm not in love with them. I love the Lakers. I'm in love with the Lakers. Care about the Lakers first. The team. When Pau Gasol got traded initially for CP3, Lamar Odom traded for CP3. I have the freaking CD. I was excited. And I love those guys. Who doesn't love Lamar Odom? Who doesn't love Pau Gasol? How can you not love them? They were amazing. But this is a sport. This is competition. You have to be ahead of the game so that you can continue to win. LeBron James needs to make a decision. And he's needed to make that decision a lot of times in his career. Do you really want to win? All those times he passed the ball to other guys at the last moment. Those were the questions I used to always have before he was a Laker. What is that? What is that? Oh, he's making the right play. Making the right play is getting the ball in the mother effing hoop. Oh, well, Joe, he's got more clutch shots than these guys based off this analytical percentage. Who is pissing in their pants between three players the last 30 years when they get the ball at the end? Jordan, Kobe, LeBron. Who's scared of LeBron in that case? No one. Who's scared of the other guys? Everyone. So you can go ahead and take your analytics and do what you want with it. I'm talking about right now, folks, 2024. It's March 19, 2024. What are the Lakers going to do this summer? Are they going to put their heads on people's shoulders? Be buddy-buddy? Or are we going to try to win championships? Because I'll tell you this. A little bit of me, not really, but a little bit of me has creeped into my head. Like, imagine if Boston wins a championship. How much of a burner that's going to be. Now what are you going to do? Is that going to motivate you? I know it would motivate me.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much again for watching and listening. Before we go, I want to mention a couple things. First off, Bag of Dragon says he feels like LeBron gets caught trying to read the whole floor too much, which is how he gets beat sometimes. It's almost like he forgets to be in the moment. And he also says it's easy to have more clutch shots when you let the game stay close, which the Lakers have a penchant for.
That's a great comment, Baggin Dragon. Is that who?
Yes,
it is?
On Twitch.
I used to say that about Kobe, because Kobe, you guys got to understand, for those of you who weren't there, the Lakers were so dominant. Now the Bulls were dominant too. They were dominant. But the Bulls played a lot closer games in the playoffs than the Lakers three-peat team. The Lakers three-peat team decimated teams in the playoffs. They ran an entire playoff run where they really – there wasn't – what clutch shots could go in that year? What clutch shots? I think the Bulls' only season where they were like completely just a buzzsaw was the 96-72 win team, right? But if you look at 91, 92, 93, 97, and 98, dude, Utah got scary in those games. Phoenix got scary in 93. Portland got scary in 92. 91, you could say, was kind of a run as well. But 96 was the most dominant run. But the Lakers, man, they were dominant. They were really dominant in the playoffs to the point where they didn't need last-second shots to win those games typically. Weissman's trash, Darren. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say trash. He's a bust. He's a major bust.
He better start playing well. I know he's been getting better numbers as of late on Detroit, but then again, it's most of them been like blowout losses. But he better start playing well if he's going to be a free agent this summer, so he can still find a job in the league, because somebody will take a chance on him. We'll see who it will be. But Joe, before we head on out, I want to mention again that if you're interested in joining us on the ESPN Tournament Challenge with your brackets, please go ahead and do so. We're in the Lakers Fast Break group. I'll go ahead and add it into the description here shortly for YouTube viewers. But if you're interested, go ahead and join us up and just type in Lakers Fast Break, and it'll come right up for you as far as the Lakers Fast Break podcast group. You put your picks right there. And I'll put it to 20, Joe. If we get 20 entrants, I'll throw in a Lakers Fast Break t-shirt or a Lakers Fast Break hat, whatever their choice is for the winner. So we'll go ahead and hopefully get 20 entrants as far as people filling out their brackets here for ESPN Tourney Challenge. But Joe, it is the Lakers. Again, I will say, I don't think that the Lakers committing $110 million to LeBron and AD spells a championship. It just seems very difficult to me if that's the case. If LeBron does take a pay cut, then things might be different. But we'll have to wait and see come this summer. I think this is a very pivotal summer for the Lakers going forward.
Yeah, it's a pivotal in so many different directions. Because the longer they wait for this run, the longer they have to rebuild down the road. And I don't know if these cast of characters up in the high office are the kind of people that know what they're doing and building teams.
You need to check that Backstage Lakers out again and let us know. I'm just not 100% sold that everybody else gets a clean slate and it's all Rob's choice on JHS. I'd have to hear it from him or something more definitive than just, oh, rumors say, oh, if it's Trevor Lane said or something like that. I need something more definitive. It was a mistake any which way you slice it down to it. And ultimately Rob should get the blame because he's the one that called the name. So we'll leave it at that. But I don't think, you know, everybody's praised the buses for their drafting skills and whatnot and how they blew everything this year. Either their first and second choice is pretty disappointing.
They've been great overall. You can't deny that. We've talked about it. But what good is all that scouting and all that time and all that decision-making when 90% of those picks and acquisitions are not on your team? Whose decision was that? So you go through all this process of figuring out who is the right player. Then you get rid of them too early. What does that mean in terms of the grade of your front office and your drafting and all that? What does it mean? You have Brook Lopez at one point. You let him go. I mean, it's a constant one step forward, two steps back, decision-making. Malik Monk, I'm going to go by just acquisitions on in terms of, even though some of it wasn't their fault, they've brought in the talent, but they haven't kept them for whatever reason. Some their fault, some isn't their fault. And what is the main problem you have with this team is your depth. And these guys are not getting paid. You know, they're not, it's not like the NFL where, oh, well, you know, we can't pay this guy $20 million a year for the next 5 years. Sorry. No, these guys are role players. and they didn't even get a look. I remember Brooke Lopez said they didn't even call him. They treat people like shit a lot of times that they shouldn't be treating like that.
Sports Baby, again, when it comes to Monk, the Lakers didn't have his bird rights, so they were only allowed to go ahead and offer him a deal only for so much. Sacramento could outbid him, but again, the Lakers could have offered more years, could have done some different things to guarantee him some thing down the road. Maybe they could have been a better play as far as him, but up front, they could not offer him as much as some other teams because of the bird rule.
Yeah, just one of many.
Brenton, also, I know you. We always stress on Cam Whitmore here as far as JHS picked over Cam Whitmore. Again, Podziemski, Trace Jackson Davis, Gigi Jackson, and Jaime Jaquez Jr. Yeah, a lot of good players that the Lakers could have selected with their two picks and just didn't get it done.
All right, folks, I just sent you a link. It's a one-minute clip. You don't have to go scouring the earth for this. This should tell you right here. You guys tell me what you think.
And get back to us tomorrow on that. And once again,
it's not 1 minute. It's 10 minutes. I mean, not
10 minutes. It's 10 minutes. It's 10 minutes. So, yes, go ahead. Watch that after we go off the air and then respond in the comments. Or hopefully if we don't come back tomorrow night, we'll be back on Thursday. But if we're not here tomorrow night, John Costa will be here tomorrow. If John's not here, we'll be here tomorrow. So you can go ahead and let us know then your thoughts. But it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Sorrell, myself, Gerald Glassford. We truly appreciate you watching and listening. Again, join our ESPN Tournament Challenge League. It would be great if you did. It'd be a lot of fun. Go ahead and rub it on me because my picks are always lousy each and every year. And again, if you want to go ahead and be a part of that, plus also be a part of what we do, please like, follow, and subscribe right here to Lakers Fast Break. So for Joe Sorrell, it's Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching and listening. We'll see you tomorrow or Thursday right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.